says, please don't revive. I would paint all over it, but I'm afraid of heights. There's plenty of those old tapes playing around inside my head. I'm welcoming the future.
I know going through finals could feel like this. Well, hopefully listening to WOMY Oneonta 90.9 FM Red Dragon Radio will help relieve some of the stress. Don't forget to keep it locked.
I'll have you know, I stubbed my toe last week while watering my spice garden, and I only cried for 20 minutes.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, September 15th, join the Activities Council for Club Feud, happening from 9 to 10:30 p.m. in the Hunt Union Ballroom. On Tuesday, head down to the Red Dragon Theater for some Trivia Tuesday, happening from 9 to 10 p.m. On Wednesday, join the Student Fashion Society for their first general body meeting, happening from 7 to 8:15 p.m. in IRC 1. Also happening on Wednesday is another round of Club Feud. Head on down to the ballroom from 9 to 10:30 p.m. On Thursday, join the Office of Equity and Inclusion for a film screening of American Agitators, happening from 6 to 9 p.m. in the Great Room in Lee Hall. On Friday, be sure to join Activities Council for their general body meeting, happening from 3 to 4 p.m. in Hunt Union in the Leather Stock Room. On Friday, join Faculty Opportunities for a Friday social hour at the Muddy River, happening from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. for faculty at the Muddy River Tap Room in Oneonta. On Saturday, join the Activities Council for their show of Saturday Soundscape, Selena, the Last Concert, live from the Astrodome, happening from 8 to 9 p.m. in the Red Dragon Theater. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Have a great week and be sure to keep it locked.
Good morning, everybody in Radio Land. This is DJ Nos for Mark II with What's in Your Pocket, episode 49. Gonna do something super fun this week. Starting today, the 15th, and going all the way through the 18th, at the top of the hour, give or take a few minutes past, I'm going to play the entire original broadcast of War of the Worlds, as read by Orson Welles. This was originally done in on October 30th, 1938, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And for those of you who know who the you know, background of this, there was a radio adaptation of it, of the original thing, the original book story by H.G. Wells. And when it was done, it was made to sound like an actual like Martian invasion, and people were freaking out. For people that didn't know, it was just the story. So I've been wanting to do this for a while. I got a copy this summer of a pretty clean copy of the vinyl of this recording. So just to warn you, it is a little bit scratchy, but that makes it all the more kind of cool as we listen to it. So I'm going to start that in a minute. Once again, these, it's about anywhere from 13 to 15 minutes each day, the beginning of my show. So if you're listening to something being like, what is going on? Why is this taking so long? Well, this is the reason. So hopefully you can catch these four episodes and be able to hear the entire broadcast of Orson Welles reading H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. And here we go.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. Ladies and gentlemen, the director of the Mercury Theater and star of these broadcasts, Orson Welles.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's, and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds as ours are to the beasts in the jungle, intellects vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us. In the 39th year of the 20th century came the Great Disillusionment. It was near the end of October. Business was better. The war scare was over. More men were back at work. Sales were picking up. On this particular evening, October 30th, the Crosley Service estimated that 32 million people were listening in on radios.
For the next 24 hours, not much change in temperature. A slight atmospheric disturbance of undetermined origin is reported over Nova Scotia, causing a low pressure area to move down rather rapidly over the northeastern states, bringing a forecast of rain accompanied by winds of light gale force. Maximum temperature 66, minimum 48. This weather report comes to you from the Government Weather Bureau. We take you now to the Meridian Room in the Hotel Park Plaza in downtown New York, where you will be entertained by the music of Raymond Raquello and his orchestra.
Ladies and gentlemen, Plaza Hotel in New York City, we bring you the music of Raymond Raquello and his orchestra. With a touch of the Spanish, Raymond Raquello leads off with La Campanita.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News. At 20 minutes before 8 Central Time, Professor Farrell of the Mount Jennings Observatory, Chicago, Illinois, reports observing several explosions of incandescent gas occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving toward the Earth with enormous velocity. Professor Pearson of the observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame shot from a gun, unquote. We now return you to the music of Ramon Raquello, playing for you in the Meridian Room of the Park Plaza Hotel, situated in downtown New York.
Now, a tune that never loses favor, the ever-popular Stardust, Raymond Raquello and his orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, following on the news given in our bulletin a moment ago, the Government Meteorological Bureau has requested the large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars. Due to the unusual nature of this occurrence, we have arranged an interview with a noted astronomer, Professor Pearson, who will give us his views on this event. In a few moments, we will take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, New Jersey. We return you until then to the music of Ramon Raquello and his orchestra. We are ready now to take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, where Carl Phillips, our commentator, will interview Professor Richard Pearson, famous astronomer. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carl Phillips speaking to you from the Observatory at Princeton. I'm standing in a large semicircular room, pitch black except for an oblong split in the ceiling. Through this opening, I can see a sprinkling of stars that cast a kind of frosty glow over the intricate mechanism of the huge telescope. The ticking sound you hear is the vibration of the clockwork. Professor Pearson stands directly above me on a small platform, peering through the giant lens. I'll ask you to be patient, ladies and gentlemen, during any delay that may arise during our interview. Besides the ceaseless watch of the heavens, Professor Pearson may be interrupted by telephone or other communications. During this period, he is in constant touch with the astronomical centers of the world. Professor, may I begin our questions?
At any time, Mr. Pearson.
Professor, would you please tell our radio audience exactly what you see as you observe the planet Mars through your telescope?
Nothing unusual at the moment, Mr. Phillips. A red disk swimming in the blue sea. Transverse stripes across the disk. Quite distinct now because Mars happens to be at the point nearest the Earth, in opposition, as we call it.
In your opinion, what do these transverse stripes signify, Professor Pearson?
Not canals, I can assure you, Mr. Phillips.
Safe.
Although that's the popular conjecture of those who imagine Mars to be inhabited. From a scientific viewpoint, the stripes are merely the result of atmospheric conditions peculiar to the planet.
Then you're quite convinced, as a scientist, that living intelligence as we know it does not exist on Mars?
I say the chances against it are 1,000 to 1.
And yet, how do you account for these gas eruptions occurring on the surface of the planet at regular intervals?
Phillips, I cannot account for it.
By the way, Professor, for the benefit of our listeners, how far is Mars from the Earth?
Approximately 40 million miles.
Well, that seems a safe enough distance. Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Someone has just handed Professor Pearson a message. While he reads it, let me remind you that we are speaking to you from the observatory in Princeton, New Jersey, where we are interviewing the world-famous astronomer, Professor Pearson. One moment, please. Professor Pearson has passed me a message which he has just received. Professor, may I read the message to the listening audience?
Certainly, Mr. Brooks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall read you a wire addressed to Professor Pearson from Dr. Gray of the Natural History Museum, New York. Quote, 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Seismograph registered shock of almost earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles of Princeton. Please investigate. Signed, Lloyd Gray, Chief of Astronomical Division, unquote. Professor Pearson, could this occurrence possibly have something to do with the disturbances observed on the planet Mars?
Hardly, Mr. Phillips. This is probably a meteorite of unusual size, and its arrival at this particular time is merely a coincidence. However, we shall conduct a search as soon as daylight permits.
Thank you, Professor. Ladies and gentlemen, for the past 10 minutes, we've been speaking to you from the Observatory at Princeton, bringing you a special interview with Professor Pearson, noted astronomer. This is Carl Phillips speaking. We are returning you now to our New York studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the latest bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News, Toronto, Canada.
Professor Morse of Macmillan University reports observing a total of 3 explosions on the planet Mars between the hours of 7:45 p.m. and 9:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This confirms earlier reports received from American observatories. Now, nearer home, comes a special bulletin from Trenton, New Jersey. It is reported that at 8:50 p.m., a huge flaming object, believed to be a meteorite, fell on a farm in the neighborhood of Grover's Mill, New Jersey, 22 miles from Trenton. The flash in the sky was visible within a radius of several hundred miles, and the noise of the impact was heard as far north as Elizabeth. We have dispatched a special mobile unit to the scene, and we'll have our commentator, Carl Phillips, give you a word picture of the scene as soon as he can reach there from Princeton. In the meantime, we take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music. We take you now to Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Carl Phillips again, out at the Wilmot Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Professor Pearson and myself made the 11 miles from Princeton in 10 minutes. Well, I hardly know where to begin. Paint for you a word picture of a strange scene before my eyes, like something out of a modern Arabian night. Well, I just got here. I haven't had a chance to look around yet. I guess that's it. Yes, I guess that's the thing directly in front of me, half buried in a vast pit. Must have struck with terrific force. The ground is covered with splinters of a tree. It must have struck on its way down. But I can see the object itself doesn't look very much like a meteor, at least not the meteors I've seen. It looks more like a huge cylinder. Has a diameter of, what would you say, Professor Pearson?
What's that?
What would you say, what's the diameter of this?
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheath is, well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish white. It's curious. Spectators now are pressing close to the object in spite of the efforts of the police to keep them back. Getting in front of my line of vision. Would you mind standing one side, please, while the police are pushing the crowd back? Here's Mr. Wilmot, owner of the farm here. He may have some interesting facts to add. Mr. Wilmot, would you please tell the radio audience as much as you remember of this rather unusual visitor that dropped in your backyard? Step closer, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Wilmot.
Well, I was listening to the radio.
Closer and louder, please.
Pardon me?
Louder, please, closer.
Yes. I was listening to the radio and kind of drowsing. That professor fellow was talking about Mars, so I was half dozing and half...
Yes, yes, Mr. Wilmot, and then what happened?
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio... kind of halfway.
Yes, Mr. Willis. And then you saw something.
Well, not first off. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this. Kind of like a 4th of July rocket.
Yes, then what?
I turned my head out the window and would have sworn I was asleep and dreaming.
Yes?
I seen a kind of greenish streak and then zingo. Something smacked the ground. Knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mr. Willis?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilmot. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you want me to tell
No, that's quite all right. That's plenty. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Mr. Wilmot, owner of the farm, where this thing has fallen.
Hello, everyone. We will pick this up tomorrow with part 2 out of 4 parts of Orson Welles' rendition of War of the Worlds, written by H.G. Wells, original broadcast in October 30th, 1938 at 8 p.m. Well, it's Monday, so we're going to continue with this one. Loretta Lynn, these boots are made for walking. Before that, we had Combination from Aerosmith off Rocks, which is my favorite song on that album, which is my favorite Aerosmith album, which I guess that would make my favorite Aerosmith song, which is crazy. before that, Bangles, Manic Monday, written by Christopher, as it says on the album. Insert, which is, as we all know, Prince. So, great tune, though. Great tune. Hopefully everybody's having a great morning. This is DJ Nos from Mark Dude, what's in your pocket? Rocking and rolling, 827. We had a really great weekend downtown in Oneonta. Lots of music happening. Lots of arts happening. We had the Kano City of the Hills Arts Fest. Tons of vendors out there. 10 different musical acts. It was a absolute banger. Super successful, and I love this small town. I guess small town, it's a city. Love the smaller city. We are lucky to be here in such a arts-loving, supportive community. So, with that being said, you want to be on the radio? Do you want to have your own show? Do you want to just come and speak on the radio with me? Well, you could always just be a guest on my show. 8 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. You can hit me up at mark.paquette@oneonta.edu. You can hit me up on any of my social media accounts, What's in Your Pocket, or just my plain old Instagram, Facebook page. Just send me a DM on there. You can call the station, 607-436-2711. You can come be a guest on my show and talk about anything. If you want to play music, just make sure you bring some vinyl or tell me what you want to hear ahead of time and I'll bring it. Speaking of vinyl, are trying to build up the vinyl library again after it was decimated years ago. And we're starting to get some albums coming in. So if you want to donate any albums to our radio station, that would be amazing. We'll gladly come and pick them up. Just get a hold of me. And also, last but not least, you want to be a DJ? You can totally do it. It's super fun and easy to be able to train and so forth. So you could join Wony and have your own weekly radio show. You could even join Wony and not have a radio show, but just kind of hang out with the radio and help out and so forth. So, yeah, get a hold of us, wonyfm.org. You can visit us on the Hunt Union as well. And... yeah, happy Monday, everybody. Life's really, really, really good. I'm going to see Wet Leg at the Paramount in Brooklyn on Thursday. And I get to play with my band, the Mopar Cams, at Hartwick's Alumni Weekend this Friday, which I graduated from in 1997. So it's a sweet spot for me as well. And I'm going to play some Beck for you now. Kind of a sad song, but I'm not sad. I just love this song. Nobody's fault but my own. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror.
Such a selfish way to lose, the way you lose these wasted blues, these wasted blues. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault. Nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own.
With a woman unkind, smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind, make a new start, going to California with an aching in my home. Someone told me there's a girl out there with love in her eyes and flowers in her hair. Chances on a big jet plane. Never let them tell you that we all are the same. Oh, the sea was red and the sky was gray. One that had tomorrow could ever follow today. Mountains and the canyon started to tremble and shake. The children of the sun begin. Watch out. Say she plays guitar and cries and sings. La la la. Ride a white mare in the footsteps of dawn, trying to find a woman who's never, never, never been born. Standing on the hill in the mountain of dreams, telling myself it's not as hard.
Going to California, it's funny, growing up, I'm 50, so growing up, you know, Zeppelin was huge, and Zeppelin 4 was like, I don't know, Zeppelin 4, Zeppelin 2, these were like really big albums. We kind of, rock and rollers, we kind of gravitated to certain things like this, you know, obviously, or the Sabbath albums, and early Aerosmith, AC/DC, all these kinds of classic rock stuff were like, you know, canon for us. And this album I listened to a ton, you know, when I was in middle school and so forth and early high school. And it got, I wore it out and it just got boring to me, I think, even though it's not boring at all. It just kind of, all those songs were so overplayed. And I kind of didn't listen to it for maybe 25 years or so, and then I started putting it back on, listening to it, and being like, just listening to how amazing the entire album is, and just everything with it, the songwriting, the production, the orchestrations, all that stuff. And I think Going to California is could be my favorite song on that, favorite song on there. Before that, Nobody's Fault But My Own from Beck, Mutations, saw him on that tour, that was amazing. And it is 8:40, everybody. I got about 20 minutes left to fill your mornings with some earworms here. I'm going to play some Christopher Cross. I'm feeling kind of easy this morning, just kind of mellow and wanting to hear some kind of sweet stuff instead of just all banging rock and roll. But we'll get to some Ozzy right after that, so don't be worried. It's coming. We'll be right back. Flying High Again, the great Ozzy Osbourne off of Diary of a Madman. A sweet. Before that, we had Ride Like the Wind, Christopher Cross. Amazing. Michael McDonald doing some, such a long way to go, make it to the day to make you whole, which is awesome. Michael McDonald is obviously an incredible musician, but he's very, very easy to make fun of. I don't know why. I do know why, but with that being said, I got one more for you. This is the first song on the second side of the original release of Living Colors Vivid, which was a really important album for me when I was in high school. An important album for rock and roll as well. But the musicianship on this album is crazy. Some of the songs are pretty dated, but when it came out, it was super, you know, just hadn't heard stuff like this, and it was totally wild. That band is killer. They're still playing and they're amazing. So here we go. This is Funny Vibe, Living Color. I'll see everybody tomorrow, Tuesday, for we're just going to start once again a little bit after 8 with the second part of War of the Worlds. And I hope everybody has a great rest of their day. Here's Funny Vibe.
Yeah, you. Come here. You know you can't be out there with the undead on the loose. I'm gonna try to get a radio signal to find help out there. Almost found something. Oh, I got it. You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Oh, and check that door. Yeah, keep it locked.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe, and I've got gas. Natural gas, that is. It comes to me through a series of pipes buried in the ground. Pipes that all too often get damaged by people who dig before calling 811. This causes real problems for millions of Americans like me who rely on natural gas to heat their homes and cook their food, but it's even worse for the people who hit the gas lines. Well, here's the good news. You don't have to be one of those people. Just call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more info.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update.